Hello, everybody. So happy to be here with all of you today. It's only been live calls for 2 weeks, but it feels like so much longer. And so I've just been so looking forward to connecting with you and being with you here today. I wanted to start our call off. We don't always usually start our calls off with visualizations or groundings, I should say, but I felt like it would be a good day today to just really get fully grounded, fully present, bring ourselves fully forward and open for our time together today. So wherever you are, I invite you to close your eyes. Feel your seat or the ground beneath you. And let any extra energy that is hanging out in your head space, in your mental space. Oftentimes we have a lot of extra energy or focus there in the brain. Let any extra energy just move down into your body. So that you begin to balance out your mental energy with your being. Just letting energy go to where you need it most right now in this moment. And then finding your breath, inhaling and exhaling. As you inhale, open up, allow yourself to expand. Take up as much space as you need. And as you exhale, release, let go. And take pleasure in the contraction. Inhaling, opening up, expanding, taking in what you need. Exhaling. Releasing what is no longer needed, hugging in. Using the breath to connect deeply with your body. With that sacred vessel that holds so much for you. Using the breath to connect with your inner wisdom, with yourself, with this moment. And as you connect in this way, I invite you to place a hand on your heart. Maybe you can even feel your heart beating under your hand. And if not, that's okay. Take a few moments to connect with your heart, to connect with your love, to connect with your passion, to connect with your fire, to connect with your anger. And all that you hold in your heart. And as you connect with your heart in this way, ask it, ask your heart, how is it doing today? How is your heart today? What does it want you to know? Take one more moment to really honor your heart and its expression and all that it holds. Together we'll take a nice deep breath in and exhale everything out with a sigh. And allowing your eyes to flutter open, bringing yourself fully present to our time together today. Okay. So, our call today is about supporting our clients and ourselves to be in the mystery and let go. Oh, and you know, before we dive in, actually, two pieces I wanted to share, housekeeping, or one thing I wanted to ask you and one thing I wanted to share. Some of you may have seen that the next round of Sacred Depths is starting at the end of this month. Usually we only begin in the autumn, but because of the pandemic and rearranging a lot of things, I'm going to start another cycle at the end of June. If you know anyone who would really value from this experience and from this training, please share about it with them. I would be so appreciative, and hopefully they'll be appreciative too. So I just wanted to remind you about that. And also, a number of you have been getting in touch and saying, we're coming to the end. How, you know, in some ways it's been such a long time, right? Like it's a long program, 10 months, and in other ways the time has just flown by. And a number of you have asked, like, what happens at the end of Sacred Depths? I have something very special if you are interested. And so I'll be sharing about that over the next few weeks. As with everything else, I've, you know, and for so many of us that have businesses, a lot has been rearranged just through the pandemic and everything. So I'm just finishing putting the touches on that, and I'll share that with all of you in the next few weeks. Okay. So, being in the mystery and letting go. So, this is a topic that you're probably not going to find in any other practitioner training. It's a big one, but it's one that in the transformational world, in the coaching world, we tend to talk a lot about creating and creation and, you know, doing new things, but we very rarely talk about letting go, about destroying. We speak so often about more and the importance of more, but very rarely do we speak about less and the importance of less. But the truth is that life, real life, is about both. It's about creating, but it's also about destroying. It's about manifesting, but it's also about letting go. It's about more, but it's also about less. In real life, there are moments for clarity, for sunlight, for seeing all the details so clearly that if we're talking real life, it's also sometimes about fogginess and not knowing, being in the mystery. And practitioners who only focus on the creating, the manifesting, the more, and the clarity are ultimately not fully equipped to lead our clients through all of life, right? Through anything that's going to come up, through whatever moment they may be in. We're going to be at a deficit unless we also know how to hold space and guide when it comes to destroying and letting go and having less. There are moments where it's actually more appropriate to have less. And also embracing fogginess. Right, our clients, as well as ourselves, are going to encounter these experiences and these choices. You know, just to name a few, leaving a marriage or a partner, right? It's not about creating, or at least not initially about creating. First, it's about letting go, leaving a home, leaving a job, letting go of clients or programs, you know, not having the full plan. So I can give you dozens of anecdotes and stories around this in my own life. I'll just share one quickly now just to kind of illustrate why it's important to have these skills to really support clients to be in the mystery and to be able to let go. I led a circle, I mean, you can call it a mastermind. It was way more than a mastermind. It was an intimate circle of women. And the circle was so committed. It was so incredible. The same women were in it for 8 years, or almost 8 years. The same women were in it for 7 years, and it was going strong, and these women re-signed with me every single year. They were committed to doing the work with me. They were committed to doing the work with each other. And at the end of our seventh cycle together, everybody just expected me to offer the circle again into the next 12 months. But something was pulling at me. It wasn't that I wasn't devoted to this circle of people anymore. I was 100%. But I knew in my heart that we had gone, at least for that stretch, that we had gone as far as we were going to go as a circle. And that in order to evolve, in order to grow, in order for each person in the circle, myself included, you know, as the coach, as the leader, to get to where we needed to get next, per, you know, individually, that it was time to let go of the circle in that form. And it was a very difficult decision to make because I knew that all of those women were counting on me and counting on the circle, but I also knew that to be in integrity to all of us, the circle couldn't go on, at least not then, at least not for that next year, at least not in that way. And it was scary because these were my, you know, I had tons of other clients and groups and all of that, but this was like my inner circle group. You know, I had in a lot of ways, like, these women, even though I was leading them, like, they witnessed so much growth in me. I felt such safety in this group, and security and comfort and familiarity. It was also guaranteed income. I knew they would all continue, you know, it's just all of that, right? So there was a lot of stepping into the mystery, into the not knowing what would be next if I let the circle go. But I knew in my heart that it was time, that it was the right thing. I didn't want, you know, when you leave a fruit on a tree for too long and it gets overripe and then it just gets rotten, that was the sense that I had, that it was really time to fully harvest. And so I let them know, and there were some people that were upset. A number of them continued to work with me privately or in parts of other groups, and a couple did not, although all of them have been in the orbit or one way or the other. And it was painful. It wasn't easy. There was grieving. I did grieving on my own, and we did grieving as a circle. But it was absolutely the right decision. It needed to happen, and I can see it now because I'm still in such close contact with each of those women, either because they're clients or just whatever. It was right for everybody, and it was right for me. But sometimes, as you know, whether it's our own lives or we're practitioners helping a client make a decision like this, and we'll talk more about this in this call, it's hard to sometimes to help a client navigate decisions like this, right? So we want to really be the practitioner that can support incredible and powerful manifestation, but also support incredible and powerful letting go and being in that mystery. We have to, as practitioners, understand what all of this is about. And when I say this, I mean loss, letting go, making hard decisions, grieving, all of that. And of course, you know, all of that is going to take more than a 90-minute call. In some ways, we're going to skim the surface today. There's so much to look at, but even the surface here is deep and is going to boost your skills. If we don't, as practitioners, really understand all of this and commit to supporting our clients, to being in the mystery when it's appropriate, to letting go when it's appropriate, then we run the risk of becoming push coaches. I say push in quotes. Always pushing and prodding clients forward, instead of finding the aligned, organic pace that they are meant to be in, to flow in. Also, if we don't really commit to supporting our clients to being in the mystery when it's the right time and letting go when it's the right time, then we run the risk of bypassing feelings that need to be felt, bypassing synchronicities, natural rhythms, and the golden opportunities that come out of mystery, confusion, release, opening up. We'll talk more about that. And that's a problem with a lot of coaching these days, right? It's push, 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 go, go, go. Sacred depth and sacred depth practitioners know when to go and when not to go. And both are important. So So that's the backdrop for our time together today. And today's class is a little bit of a weird class. I'm going to be kind of sharing things more in a cyclical way than a linear step one, step two, step three, just because of the nature, right, of all of this. Today's training is almost more, we're going to look at specific skills, but it's really more of like a training for spiritual, you know, spirit to be a spiritual teacher, in a sense, an aspect of spirituality that is 100% related to supporting our clients in their goals and in the results that they want to create. So I want to speak briefly about and share briefly about cycles. And for a couple of you in Sacred Depths just did Sacred Rhythms in April, so some of this will sound familiar to you as I speak about the cycles. It'll sound familiar to some of you who weren't in Sacred Rhythms as well, but it's always, I think, important to come back to looking at cycles. It's so important as human beings and as practitioners to understand and honor the natural cycles of any lifespan, any relationship, any project, all of that. And just briefly to lay out the natural rhythms, the natural cycles, we can look to nature to see how human projects, human relationships work. There's usually a four-part cycle to anything, right? So just like in the wheel of the year, the cycle of the year, there's four seasons. And just like when we look at the cycle, a moon cycle, you know, there are some mini cycles. You can break it down to eight, but there are four main phases of the moon cycle. Just like there are four seasons, the same is true with any business, with any program within a business, with any client life cycle, with any relationship, with any home project, really anything you can think of. Four phases. And the four phases generally correlate to spring, which is about planting new seeds, is about new beginnings, starting upright, planting the seeds of a new project or relationship or phase of a project or relationship. The spring is when things are new and exciting. There's that kind of like young energy of openness and planting new things, right? Birth. The second phase correlates to summer, so which is about growth. We've looked at this, right? Persistent and consistent growth. And by the way, we looked at spring in our module of starting new things and visioning, right? So we kind of did a little bit of a deeper dive there. But summer is about that consistent fire, being persistent and consistent to grow something, right? So we see that when it comes to the trees and the natural world. But after any initiation phase in any project or any relationship, we need a growth phase. We need a persistent and consistent watering and giving sunlight and watering and giving sunlight. After that is autumn, which is all about the harvest, enjoying the fruits of the labor, right? Which so often we don't do. We looked at this a little bit in our module, our creating awareness module around celebrating. So often we work, right? We go through the spring and the summer, but then we forget to actually enjoy it, to celebrate it, to take a pause and say, whew, that was amazing. I can't believe I accomplished that, right? And then the fourth phase of any project, relationship, you know, anything we want to look at correlates to winter, which is where we're focusing today, which is about letting go, which is about not knowing, which is about taking a long rest until the next thing. If we look around the coaching industry, as I said earlier, but even if we just look anywhere, media, just things that were taught in school, movies, whatever it is, importance is put on the spring and summer phases, on starting new things and growing new things, but very little importance is put on the harvest, on the harvest, you know, that autumn, or especially the winter, the letting go, the being in the mystery, right? And we can see this even in the way that we celebrate people until they're a certain age, right? And then in society, they're not deemed as valuable anymore. We put more importance on the spring and the summer, unfortunately. And I'll tell you that a percentage of the work that I often do with clients is supporting them to heal from being misaligned with these rhythms because we've only put importance on two parts of the cycle instead of all four phases. So let's talk more, let's hone in on that winter phase. So our clients, at some point or another, are going to go through winter phases. And we all, at some point or another, are going to go through winter phases in different areas of our lives. For some people, it may look like taking a sabbatical, right? Taking a sabbatical from work. For some people, it might look like releasing a marriage or a partnership or a lease. For some people, a winter phase might be about letting something, a pattern inside of them die. For some people, a winter phase might be a moment in time. It could be a week. It could be a few weeks. It could be a number of months where the priority is rest or self-care over everything else, right? I have worked with clients where they've achieved incredible things in our work together, and then it's like they're ready to achieve more, but I can see that actually what they need is a rest. What they need is a winter. We'll talk more about this, but one of the difficulties of any of the things I've mentioned, the sabbatical, releasing a relationship, letting something die, going into a rest phase, not doing as much on the outside, is the fear of the mystery, right? It's like when we slow down, when we let something go, we don't yet know what's on the other side of it. We're not supposed to immediately know what's on the other side of it. If we did already know, you know, I'm leaving this and then everything is going to be like that, you know, it would be so much easier to let things go, right? And we wouldn't get the learning, the deeper learning from all of it. So sometimes our clients need a full-on winter phase, which can last a week, a few weeks, a few months, or longer. That's one part of supporting them to be in the mystery and let things go. Other times, supporting a client to be in the mystery or letting something go is there's something that they just need to let go of right then and there. So why is it important to support our clients to let things go? And also, if a client is ready for a winter phase, a little bit more of a, not just letting one thing go, but a longer winter phase, why is it important to support our clients to consciously step into them? Well, when we don't let go what needs to be let go of, or when we don't go into a winter phase that we're actually really, really ready and ripe for, things feel out of alignment. Or we end up overworking and doing too much and then feeling exhausted and like we don't have enough space in our lives. Sometimes it's important to let things go in order to make room for what's coming next. It's very hard to get something new going or to take in more when you're already overfilled with what you've got. Sometimes it's important, particularly, you know, to support clients to consciously step into a winter phase because they need it to heal from an illness or a trauma or a big life transition. And probably, you know, you've experienced one of those three, like this, something big has happened and you try to just motor on, but you get nowhere because what you actually needed was a winter phase. What you needed was a letting go. What you needed was a real rest period. Sometimes it's important to support a client to let something go or to consciously step into a winter phase because they've been settling for something instead of receiving whatever the ideal is. What I mean by that is sometimes when we're just like in the status quo, that is, but it's not satisfying us, it's a pattern that keeps on repeating itself. And in order to actually make space for what we really want, we need to break the pattern of the status quo and actually let go of what we do have or go into that kind of winter phase, that more of a rest. Sometimes we support clients to do this because they just have too much going on, and what they actually need is just simplicity, right? In the business context, sometimes a client will come to me, we'll start working together, and they have like 25 different programs, and it's like, it's too much, right? We need to let some of it go for simplicity's sake so that you're not all over the place all the time. And also so that you can really focus your attention on the few places, the few programs that actually have legs, that you can actually make a lot happen with them. And sometimes it's important to support clients to step into a winter phase consciously or to let go of something because there's a deep need to grieve. When we're going, not letting things go, avoiding winter, whenever that winter comes up for us, it doesn't necessarily have to be that time of year, right, December, January, February. Oftentimes, there's such a deep need to grieve. But we can't until we let go, until we create that. Okay, so all that being said, why is it so hard to let things go or to step in to a winter phase? And why can it be hard for practitioners to support their clients in this? Well, there's a couple of reasons. They all have to do with fear. So number one, fear of missing out, right? Sometimes it's hard to let go of things, the fear of missing out. Back to my story with that inner circle group, when I considered letting it go, it was like, oh my gosh, but this could go on forever, and we've had such great times, and there's going to be more growth, and, you know, all the things, right? I'm going to miss out on the income, whatever it is. Right? And so that fear of missing out is also related to a fear of scarcity or a fear of not having other opportunities or a fear of not having security. And I want, this is important. So these are some fears that our clients might have, right, when they're faced with letting go of something or going into a winter phase. But what I also want to point out is you want to check yourself as the practitioner, right? Because if you, as the practitioner, have a fear of missing out or a fear of scarcity or a fear that your client isn't going to have other opportunities if they let go of something, or if you as a practitioner have a fear of not having security, it's going to be difficult for you to hold space for your client to be in the mystery and to let go, right? Now, as with everything, you don't need to be perfect and on the other side of it. I certainly have fear of missing out. I certainly have some fear of not having security. But so long as I'm continually doing my own inner work on this and I'm checking my filters around this, then I am in integrity and I am equipped to make in integrity decisions when I'm holding space for this with my clients, right? And I'm sure, you know, most of you, if not all of you, have seen this either with someone who's been coaching you or you've maybe been in a group and observed. It's the coach themselves has a fear, which is why they push the client to do more and more and more, right? But it's not necessarily what's in integrity. So we need to check ourselves as practitioners. There's some other fears that get in the way of letting go, stepping into winter phases, both for our clients as well as for ourselves as practitioners. So similar to the fear of scarcity, I just want to say, like, a lot of people have an addiction to more, right? Again, our culture perpetuates it. Our culture supports it. More, 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 right? You want to just check for yourself and your clients, is there an addiction to more? Sometimes there's a fear of change. Oftentimes, as I mentioned earlier, there, and this is related to the fear of change, is there's a fear of the mystery. In addition to so many people having an addiction to more, a lot of people have an addiction to clarity and to needing to always know. And I know in the coaching and transformational world, we speak a lot about, you know, as your coach, as your practitioner, we're going to help you get clarity. And that's 100% true. And we want to be able to do that as practitioners. It's so valuable. Clarity is valuable. But we need to, again, like as sacred depths practitioners and as a practitioner that's going to hold space for the full cycle for our clients and not just pretend that there's only half of a cycle there, we need to also recognize that sometimes the mystery, sometimes not knowing, is the most productive place to be. And the truth is that oftentimes, in order to gain clarity, we must be willing to not know for a while. Another fear that can get in the way of clients letting go or stepping into a longer winter phase is the fear of open space end time. Fear of open space and time. Oftentimes, our clients and ourselves will keep busy or have a lot of things going on because there's a part of us, it may not be conscious yet, but there's a part of us that knows that if we had open space and time, we would have to experience our grief. Or we would have to experience our anger. Or we would have to be in a discomfort in some way. And so in order to avoid the grief, the anger, the discomfort, we just more, right? Clarity. Just stuff it. Two more fears that I want to mention. Sometimes it's hard for someone to let go of something or step into a winter phase. This may come up for some of your clients because of the fear of letting others down. Right? That certainly in my story that I shared earlier came up for me with the circle. You may have a client that's thinking of stepping off of a board, you know, PTA, something that they're on, but there's the fear of letting others down, or going into more of a winter phase, right? But there's that fear of letting others down. And then finally, not to get too philosophical here, but I'm just going to toss it into the mix as something for you to another thing for you to understand about human behavior. When you're working with clients, to being in the mystery and letting go, is sometimes the fear is, the client may not realize it, but is literally of death itself, right? Letting go of things, being in the mystery, going into winter phase. It's like, as human beings, we just have so much fear of death, concept of death, right? And letting something go can, for some people, just trigger that, or being in a longer winter phase, you know, can trigger that for people. Okay, we still have a lot to go today. Let's pause here for a moment. Hopefully some ideas are already starting to spark for you. You're starting to see some things inside of yourself. We'll do a little bit of inner work. And first, just let me ask you, what's coming up for you so far? What are you seeing so far in this exploration that's important for you? What's really standing out for you, or what's coming to the surface? And then from there, I'm going to ask you a couple of journaling questions. What's your relationship with letting things go? What's your relationship with letting things go? Sometimes some people are really good at letting things go, but then they rush to fill the void right after that, right? So get into some of the details for yourself. What's your relationship with letting things go? Next question. What's your relationship with winter? And I don't mean the season, like, you know, do you like snow or cold weather? But the way that I've described it so far on this call, with this long pause, this rest, this, you know, surrender, this suspension of activity before moving on to the next spring, on to the next new thing? What's your relationship with winter? Take another few moments on that one. The next question, what is your relationship with scarcity and or always needing to accumulate or do more? What's your relationship with scarcity and always needing to accumulate more and do more? I know for myself, this is one that I always have to, especially when it comes to my business, I have to check myself on, right? Because I can so easily fall into the, you know, get bigger, grow, accumulate more, when really that's not always going to be the best decision for me or for my business or for my clients. A few more questions. This is the last relationship one, I promise. What's your relationship with not knowing or being in the mystery? What's your relationship with not knowing or being in the mystery? Next question. What's something in your life that you know is ready to die, but you've been clinging on to it? What is one thing in your life that you know is ready to die, but you've been clinging on to it? Now, you can go the easy route on this question, which is perfectly fine, and, you know, you can, like, name a habit that's not so palatable, and that's fine. You can do that. Or if you want to make the question a little bit more challenging, take a look at, like, what's something in your life that has been amazing, but you know that it's ready to die. And whatever this thing is, whichever route you took, the easier route or the harder route, and all is good, why have you been clinging on? What are you scared of? It might be one of the fears that I mentioned earlier. Why have you been clinging on? What are you scared of? okay, let's pause here. We still have a lot to go today, but I feel like I've been talking a lot, and I want to hear from some of you, one or two of you, what are you seeing so far? What are you taking so far? What's becoming apparent? What's coming to the surface? Star two. Oh, there's a lot of hands raised. Okay, awesome. I may not get to everybody. Here, let's see. Who is this? 2208.
It's Chance.
Hi, Chance.
Hi. What I've been taken away from this is that I have been in winter for the past 2.5 years. And, you know, and I've been in the mystery and not knowing.
Yeah.
And it's been very uncomfortable at times. But you know, and the conclusion that I've come to is that I need to take a giant step outside my mind, you know, to quote the song. And outside of my security, my safe place.
Yeah. So tell me if I'm getting this right, because I might not be, but let me know.
Mm-hmm.
What I think I'm hearing you say is that you've been in this mystery and this winter phase for the last 2.5 years, and you've probably needed to be there for various reasons, but what you're seeing now is that maybe it's time for that phase of the cycle to come to a close. You're ready for spring. Spring always comes after winter. And in order to, it's almost like for as uncomfortable as the winter has been, you've gotten comfortable in the discomfort, or at least used to it. And what you're recognizing is in order to move on to spring, you need to be willing to let go of this feeling of having gotten used to where you are.
And it feels like I am being asked to let go of pretty much everything that I've accumulated. And it's scary, but I've been telling my husband I want to feel alive again.
Yeah. Sometimes we can get burdened by all of the things we've accumulated, even though they've been wonderful things, right? In order to have that alive feeling, we kind of need to unburden ourselves.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, what's going to be important for you to believe as you move forward with all of this? What's a belief that you really want to keep top of mind here?
That the universe is a benevolent place and it has my back.
Yeah, write that down. That feels really important. I feel like everything that you're sharing, Chance, are things that, like, you have kind of known, but I can hear them coming to, like, more of a point of clarity now and integrating in a deeper way. I'm happy to hear it. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
Great. I'll take a couple more. Who is this? 4372 are your last numbers.
Hi, this is Swati. Can you hear me?
I can. Hi.
Hi. So a lot of my insights were similar to what Chance just shared. And I've been in this engineering job for the last 19 years, but also been going through winter for the last many years, actually about 4 or 5 years. So I've known that I'm in the winter phase and something is dying. And it's just so more and more clear to me that I've gotten used to being in the winter and letting go.
Yeah.
And definitely others' expectations have made the process very uncomfortable for me. It's just been dealing with those, with the discomfort that others' expectations have brought up have definitely, you know, been a big part of my personal growth. But I'm just so tired.
Yeah. But
that's what's coming to me.
Yeah, and you're tired of what? Or you're just tired?
I'm just tired, and I'm tired of taking care of things that I don't care about anymore.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask you the same question that I asked Chance. What would you need to believe to move forward with this awareness?
That what I've discovered during winter is incredible, and I'm being asked to trust that.
Say that last part again.
I'm being asked to trust that fully.
Yeah.
Like the astrology work came out of that. I would never have imagined. I think trust is what's coming to me.
Yeah, I hear that. And that's such a big, it's such a big piece of being able to move through and let go. Like what I really hear, and you can tell me if I'm being too bold in this, Swati, what I'm really hearing is that you know that it's time or just about time to let go of your day job. And in order to let go, we do need trust. It's such an important resource for ourselves and that we want to help build with our clients, especially when there are big things that are ready to be let go of.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And definitely everything what Chance just said, you know, letting go is hard because of the, it's given me so much, it's still giving me so much and the security associated with it. And I've been pushing this out for the longest time and it's just getting more and more uncomfortable.
Yeah.
To be
so
in it.
If you don't already have a practice of connect, whatever spirit is for you, like whatever you would be trusting in, whether that's spirit or universe or your higher power, if you don't already have a practice of connecting in with that, specifically around this issue of your job, I'd love for you over the next few weeks to be dialoguing and building some more trust there.
Yeah. I've actually been avoiding this particular issue, so I think it's time for me to do some work there.
Yes. Good. I'm so glad. Good, good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, I'm going to take one more hand for now. There's a lot up, but we'll come back. There's still more I want to teach, and then we'll come back for more shares and questions. Stephanie.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
Hey. A couple of things were coming up for me. The first thing being that I feel like this is so timely. It always seems to be that, like, the pandemic and everything is such a moment of pause for people, and you can tell, you can just see how uncomfortable everybody is with that and how, like, you just need to open back up and, like, all of that just really reveals, like, our collective discomfort with being in that mystery. And so the other thing that's coming up for me, which was interesting to think about, was how, you know, historically I've had a really difficult time letting things go, and I trace that back to, you know, I learned scarcity mentality at a very young age. And so this idea that, like, you just need to, like, hoard and, like, keep all your money and, like, your safety is dependent upon it. And so that fear of letting go, of losing opportunities is real. But what I've noticed is that as I have gotten more money, like, I have more money now than I ever have in my life. And it's become so much easier for me to let things go because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really making me think about filters and privilege and money and how, like, this is going to be so much easier for some people as opposed to others, depending on their situation, depending on their class, depending on their race, like all of that is going to have bearing on this.
Yeah, 100%. So I'm so glad you're bringing it up. Because first of all, yes, 100%. And then so from there, what's so important is to go back to the principle of always coach the what based on the who.
Right.
Right? Because it is 100% true. It's going to be a different situation for different people. You know, letting go of a job, let's say, right, based on privilege, right? That so you're going to coach one person around it and strategize around it differently than you would someone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm seeing how I haven't always done that in the past, and
yeah.
I'm just grateful for the different lens to look through.
Yeah, yeah, good. I'm so glad you're bringing that up. Thank you. Okay, I always hate to lower hands when I haven't gotten to everybody, but I'm going to for now, and then we'll come back to more questions and sharing. But let's move forward. And first, let me just ask you, how do you know if a client is either already in a winter phase and hasn't even realized it, or ready for a winter phase, or ready to let something go? Just jot some notes down for yourself, right? Because we want to be able to spot that as practitioners. Either a client is already in a winter phase but doesn't even realize it, or really needs one, or is ready to let something go. What are some clues that let you know? So I want to talk about what to do when you know if that a client needs to be supported in being in the mystery, being in a winter phase, or letting something go. What are some tools and strategies that you can use? And before we get to the specific tools and strategies, first, it's always about energetics, right? So what do you as the practitioner want to know and remember as you hold clients through letting go or through winter phases? Well, there's a lot of things that you may want to know and remember, but I want to name some of them. And actually, I think just starting with what Stephanie just shared is so important, right? Different people from different backgrounds or with different privileges are going to have different needs around this. We always want to coach the what based on the who. And here's some other things that you may want to remember that will really help you energetically hold, because I think it's bold to hold space for a client to be in the mystery, right? To not insist on the clarity in a particular moment, to not insist on the more in a particular moment. So in order for rebirth to happen, death needs to happen first. In other words, we can't ever get to spring before going through winter first. Sometimes it's a lengthy winter, right? Like Chance shared, like sometimes it just, it is what it is, right? 2.5 years. Other times it might be a week for a smaller rebirth, a smaller spring, right? But we don't get to skip over. We don't get to skip over it. In order for a rebirth to happen, death needs to happen first. Another thing that I like to remember as I hold clients through letting go or through winter phases is, and I think I've shared this with you all before, is that trees actually grow the most in the winter. We think they grow the most in the spring and the summer. That's when we see the leaves and the, you know, the flowers and the, all the things. And we think, oh, in the winter there's nothing happening. There's no leaves on this tree. But the truth is that in the winter, underground, where we can't see, that's when the roots are growing the strongest. And preparing, the tree is preparing. It's just the very last, you know, kind of phase is to, like, see the leaves come out, right, in the spring. There's so much growth happening before that. Another thing I like to remember is the greatest healing and visioning can happen in the mystery. What that means is that when do we dream? We don't dream during the day when everything is clear and we can see all the details, right? We dream at night when we can't see, when things, the details aren't there, things aren't established, and so anything can happen, right? So even though it feels scary to be in the mystery, it's one of the ripest moments there is. I always think about, like, the, you know, Old Testament, you know, like, the world was created not out of, like, full clarity and light. It was created from the chaos. Total mystery, total lack of clarity. Another thing to remember I said earlier, when things are full, the universe doesn't see a place to give more, right? If things are stuffed to the gills, but you haven't gotten the thing that you really want, usually you need to clear space for the thing, right? If you've got a room and it's full of old furniture that you kind of like, you know, there's like this new chair that you really, really want. Well, you can't get the new chair unless you clear out some of the old furniture. The spring always comes. We have to remember that, right? There are moments to make do with less. And I mean this overall, right? Like, and we're seeing this, like, our collectively, we've gone through this these last months. Like, we, whatever we thought we couldn't survive with, in a sense, we have been able to with less, right? Again, we have to think about privilege for sure. Coach the what based on the who, but there are moments that less really is more. Another truth to remember, better to have less, but have it be aligned, than have more that's misaligned. This next one is really important, and it goes back to the equal playing field. My client is strong enough to withstand loss. My client is strong enough to withstand loss. If you don't believe that, then even though you see that their marriage is wrong for them, for example, it's going to be hard for you to hold space and integrity for them to make a decision there, right? If you don't believe that your client is strong enough to withstand loss. The other thing that's important here, back to equal playing field, I, right, as the practitioner, am strong enough to hold space for loss and grief. If you don't believe that you are strong enough to hold that space, you're going to avoid it. You're going to avoid going there with your clients. couple of other things, and then we'll get into some specifics on tools or how to help clients. But a couple other just energetics pieces here and things to remember. That grief is normal and natural and necessary. And grieving doesn't mean that everything is going to fall apart, right? Sometimes we will hold back on supporting a client to let go of something because we are scared of grief, or our clients are, you know, we're scared that our clients can't handle the grief, right? We need to remember that it's normal and natural and necessary. And then this next one, you particularly for those of us that are work either with career or entrepreneurs or people achieving, you know, wanting to achieve kind of big outer, any kind of big outer goals. And this is something that I always come back to, is that at the end of the day, my client's health and well-being is more important than anything more that they're going to create, right? Especially if they've already created enough where they are sustained. So it's not that I discourage my clients from growing their businesses. Of course, I encourage them to, but not at the expense of health and well-being. And this is me on my little soapbox again. I just see too many coaches out in the field who don't pay enough attention to that when they're supporting clients. And then the last piece on this, these kind of like little spiritual truths, we call them. Sometimes it's easier to think about letting go as giving it up to spirit than letting go. I just find that sometimes, you know, for some people, the language is like, let it go. For others, it's like give it up, right? To spirit, to God, whatever language resonates. But that connotes more of a surrendering as opposed to like a destroying and letting go. So hopefully you've been taking notes on each of these. For you, which one of these do you need to remember the most? Or is there another one that I haven't mentioned? So when it comes to, and this is why I've spent the bulk of the call on energetics and understanding the human behavior and understanding the cycles and the nature of winter and all of that. When it comes to supporting clients to being in the mystery and letting go, the way to be effective, 90% of it is to understand all of the things that we've looked at so far on this call, to have this knowledge, to have this information, and to do this self-inquiry around these pieces for yourself. The rest, the other 10%, mostly, not all, but mostly, is using the skills that we've already learned in sacred depths, but I want to go through some of it now. So how do you help your clients to make hard decisions to release something or let go or step into a winter phase, be in the mystery? Well, and some of these will be a little bit of a repeat and then some new, but first of all, no attachment to outcome, right? So if I am attached to my clients doubling or tripling or quadrupling their income every year, there's no way that I, and this is back to energetics, right? There's no way that I'm going to be able to hold space for being in the mystery or letting things go. Can't be attached to outcome. If I am attached to the idea of my client staying married because of X, Y, or Z, right, whatever the reason, there's no way I'm going to be able to hold space for her to be in the mystery or let it go. So, but beyond all of that, sometimes the very first thing, which is a massive thing to do, is to create awareness, right? To create awareness that quadrupling your income this year actually isn't the most aligned, right? Or to question it, or to create awareness that struggle is happening with whatever it is that might be ready to be let go of, right? Marriage, partnership, where somebody lives, a career that they're in, that they've been clinging onto, a type of ideal client, right? Whatever it is, just the holding space, the reflecting the truth, the creating awareness is massive. Now, we've spoken a bit about, in our questioning module, about the difference between coaching and consulting. And you guys know that, you know, my thoughts on that, that we don't want to rely on consulting. And for each of us, the percentage is different. But what I do want to share is, particularly with this topic, it can be of a lot of value once you create awareness to do a little more consulting. And when I say consulting, I mean by way of everything that we've learned today. So because our culture places so much emphasis on more, on spring, summer, on, you know, like not making space to grieve, like whatever it is, sometimes we actually outright need to share some of these spiritual truths with our clients, right? We need to create awareness. Remember, consulting is one way, one of many ways of creating awareness. Sometimes we actually need to be a little bit of that spiritual teacher, and also ask questions to help people see where they fit into the spiritual truths and what is, rings true for them and all of that. But we may just really need to create awareness around so many of the things that we've looked at today, just the issues, right? The importance of letting go, of being in the mystery, all the things. Winter, you know, so much growth happens in the winter phase, all of that. Another thing to keep in mind when you're helping clients, particularly when you're helping them release or let go of something, is that before human beings can truly and for real release anything, let go of something, of anything, they need to be able to honor it. They need to be able to see how it served. They need to be able to see the learning that they got from it or the good that they got from it, right? For those of you that participated in Sacred Rhythms, this is part of what the harvest is about. We can't go to winter, and just like we can't go to spring and skip over winter, we can't go to winter and skip over autumn, right? And part of what autumn is harvesting. It's honoring, right? So even if it was the shittiest relationship in the world, abusive, and of course, it needs to be let go of, it needs to be released. What did your client learn through it? What resilience did they build up inside of themselves? Who have they become? What resources have they built up inside of them? That it can be such a helpful tool in order to then release. If we're going to support clients to be able to let go, we need to also be able to hold space for grieving. Letting go oftentimes comes with grieving if we do it the right way, right? If we don't just rush to the next new beginning. In that open space, if we've let something go, there's going to be grieving. Now, this is holding space for grief is a full training on its own, and we'll look at that more deeply in advanced sacred depths. But for now, what are some basic ways to hold space for grief? So one of the most important, again, is first your energetics, right? Being willing to hold the space, knowing that you're strong enough, your client is strong enough, all of that. And then going back, remember one of the ways to create awareness is to acknowledge what is, right? To just be able to acknowledge the pain, the loss, the grief, and hold that space for whatever emotion wants to come up, right? Just in its simplest form. You want to give permission to grieve. You want to acknowledge the pain and then give the permission to grieve. Another thing, you know, it'd be so nice if grieving could just happen in a session and then it'd be all done, right? Sometimes that's the case. But if you are the practitioner holding space for grief, you're going to hold space in the session, but then also recognize that grief needs space. And really strategize with your client to put time aside in between sessions, right? It's not something that can be rushed through. Other tools or things you want to remember to help clients be in the mystery, to help them let go. You can ask if you've created awareness and the client is at a point of choice, but they're scared to let go. Of course, you could do a befriend your fear process or rewire negative thought patterns. You could also ask a question like, what's a triumph story that you have around letting go? Or what's a triumph story that you have around being in the mystery, around not knowing. Sometimes, particularly when I have a client that I know is ready for a winter phase, but they have some resistance, one of the strategies I'll use is I'll support my client to define for themselves the thing that they're scared of losing, right? So what's your definition of abundance? What's your definition of success? What's your definition of happiness? What's your definition of love? When they come up with a definition that's really true to them, that's really aligned for them, there's more motivation to let go of the thing that needs to be let go of or step into the winter phase because they can see that what they're operating with, you know, in the clinging on isn't actually the true definition, you know, what they've just defined isn't true to their definition. A related strategy to that is to support, we've looked at this before, supporting a client to clarify their priorities, their values, what they really want from life, right? If I have a client that's doing all the time, let's say with their business, and I can see they're really ready for a winter phase or to let go of parts of it or, you know, whatever it is, we get clear on their priorities and their values, what's important to them. They see they want space or they want to parent a certain way or whatever it is, then it becomes so much easier to let go or to go into that winter phase. Another little trick that I use to help people is helping them, and this goes back to creating awareness, but acknowledge their resources. So I, as you guys know, am prone to catastrophic thinking, right? And like sometimes I'm like, if I let go of this, that everything is going to fall apart, or, you know, like all the things, right? So when I go to that place, I have a little game that I play with myself. I make a list of everything that I have that no one can take away from me, right? So, like, I'm scared my business is going to fall apart if I pause, if I let, you know, this program go, whatever. I go and make a list of everything that I have related to my business that nobody can take away from me. On that list goes my wisdom, all of my coaching skills, the community that I've created, the relationships that I have, you know, the love that I feel in my life, my passion and my desire to help people and make an impact, all of the knowledge that I have about marketing, or, you know, whatever it is. I just make a list of all of the inner and outer resources. And then, you know, the things that I know will allow me to rebuild my business should the worst happen when I let go of the thing or go into the winter phase. And then it's like it calms down the part of my mind that's like, I'll never be able to rebuild. You know, spring will never come again, right? If I list all the resources, then I know it will. Which, by the way, is very true to the seasons. So think about, like, in the harvest, when, you know, in the autumn before the death of the trees, right, and everything goes into the long rest, you pick all the fruits and the, you know, the wheat, like all the things, and you eat some of it right then and there, but you also save a lot of the resources to get you through the winter, right, so that you can get to the next spring. That's kind of what this exercise is about. Two other little tools, challenge, and this goes back to kind of some of the consulting piece that I was speaking about before, but sometimes I'll challenge cultural norms like meritocracy, right? There's so many cultural norms that we take for granted that feed into the denial of winter. And I feel like as practitioners of integrity and of depth, we, for our clients, we need to create space to challenge some of the norms and the narratives and the beliefs, right, that were implanted. And then another piece that can really support people to be in the mystery, to let go, to step into the winter phase, is to help them actually make time and space for themselves. And it's perfect timing because our next module is going to be on time and how to support clients to be more in rhythm with time, so we can look more at it then. Okay, we are almost at the end of our call today. I want to give you guys homework and then open up for shares and questions. So homework, first of all, please go and post in our Facebook group. You know, with everything going on in the world, I feel like our Facebook group has been a little quiet lately. What's your big takeaway from our call today? What are you really seeing for yourself, for your clients, all of that? Please post. Next piece of homework, I want you, based on what's come through today, I want you to give yourself, craft three journaling questions based on what came through for you today, and then I want you to journal on them. So that's a little bit of a practice in crafting breakthrough questions, right? And then do the inner work of journaling on those questions. Another piece of homework is to journal a dialogue, or you can even just channel write in writing form from the mystery mystery. So have a conversation, which whatever that means for you, with the mystery, right? And see what the mystery wants to tell you. Channel the voice of the mystery. You can ask it questions too. If you're working with clients, I want to also invite you to make a list of your client, each of your clients. And for each client, note where in their life are they ready for a winter phase or a letting go in one way or another, right? For each of those clients, where are they ready for a winter phase or to let go of something? And if you are working with a partner, a practice partner in this program, on your next partner call, again, it's so hard to manufacture some of these things, but I do want you, you know, when you set your intention, whatever you're being coached on, have the intention have something to do with one of these topics, you know, exploring maybe something more about the mystery. Maybe you sense there's something that's ready to be let go of, but you've been clinging to it, a decision that needs to be made, or something about slowing down or being in winter. So I don't want to artificially manufacture it, but see if you can kind of lean in that direction, and it'll be good coaching practice for your partner to kind of coach you through that based on all of the principles and pieces that we looked at today. Okay, we are at time, but I can hang on the line for a little bit. I would love to hear if you have any shares or takeaways or any questions. Star 2. Anna, I should say. Are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So I just want to say this call is coming at, like, absolute perfect timing, because I've been working with a client and helping her essentially, like, connect to her higher truth, which has led her to finally have the courage and take the step to leave her relationship. That wasn't one of those very good ones to be in, I think, if I can say that. But it was just very interesting today. I was wondering, really, because I was like, I feel like she needs a lot of support. And so this call came so timely because it gave me so much to work with, and like how to navigate her winter and like to lead her into that, because that's where I felt like she needs to go. But I was just wondering, it's like when you're working with clients, because we've been working for about a month, we've had 5 calls, and the first call was like a full-on ritual to set the energetic container and stuff. But in about a month's time, she's really, like, done this massive turnaround in her life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if there is one way to know and to kind of, like, look out for and how to work with the container. And I think this winter is also a little bit there, but to make steps of pain in a way, like if there is anything to look out for more. Do you understand my question?
Not 100%. What is it? I feel like there's something that you're concerned about. Maybe if you tell me what it is, then I can ask the question.
I'm wondering if it's like, I feel that she's been really ready, but at the same time, all of the up-leveling and change is obviously very, it's bringing out a lot in her.
Yeah.
How to, because like when we have our calls, she's so there and like connected, right? But then obviously as she goes into her daily life, she's confronted with
all of the other normal things.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, now I get it. Yeah. So you want to, so this is about the container 100%. Yeah. And there are a couple of things that you want to be thinking about. So number one, you know, what are the ways that she gets distracted or gets taken off the path
mm-hmm.
when she's in her daily life, right? And you want to actually have that conversation and have her list it out. And then you want to come up with a strategy for what she can do or what she should be aware of or what she should be watching for as she goes through her life so that she can change the pattern of being
yeah.
thrown off the course, right? So it's about tracking it and then coming up with a different response to it.
Yeah.
So that's one piece that I think can be really important. And then the other is when we're up-leveling or doing a lot of change or doing a lot of release or whatever it is, the other container that we want to think about is the container of our body. And yes. always, this is true, but particularly for moments of up-leveling, release, all of that, you want to support her in keeping her the container of her body healthy and grounded. And so, like, sleep and eating and supplements and meditation, like, whatever the things are, help her have those practices
yes.
so that she can stay grounded and continue to integrate all of the learning and the forward movement that's happening.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because I feel that we're going to have another call tomorrow because she asked if we could have a call a little bit sooner. But I think that I will definitely see that. I feel like the winter phase will kind of like come into acceptance of that, will help it
yeah.
slow down, because I feel that she also has this pressure that you spoke about of like doing more and like having it change so quickly is
yeah.
part of her programming in a way. So I think that this call gave me a lot to kind of help her just digest and be okay with it moving slower. And
yeah. Well, and not, that's the other thing is if she could create some spaces in between your sessions
mm-hmm.
to just be
yeah.
or to journal or to take a slow walk outside or just lay in the grass, right? Like that also supports being in the winter and the integration and, you know, all of the things.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Great question. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for all of your presence and all that you brought forward. I want to hear more on this topic. Please post takeaways or questions as they come up in the group. I'll also repost the homework in the group. And I am sending you all a lot of love. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
The moderator has left the conference.